Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. The information we present is taken from the writings of Benjamin Krem, a disciple of a Master of Wisdom, and also from teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. We include teachings from many schools of thought to demonstrate how they are working out in the world. Our articles are often inspiring. We hope to inform the public of actions taken around the globe to improve conditions for us all and to find means of addressing some of our most pressing problems. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program today. We've got a couple of articles for you, but we thought we'd start today with a message from the Master through Benjamin Krem.
The message is Further Thoughts on Unity, which was given to Mr. Krem on August 2012. With the exception of a few, most of the nations of the world are seeking unity. Their actions may not always support this statement, but inwardly, at least, the general direction of their intention is to achieve, together with their friends and allies, the expression of unity. However, there are some nations for whom the achievement of their individual goal is more important than general world unity, the guarantee of peace. These attitudes can, and sometimes do, change suddenly all over time, but in the present period, one can discuss the following countries.
Israel. Having usurped by terrorism the land of the Palestinian people, is now obsessed with its security to the exclusion of all other issues, including world peace. Sheltered from United Nations resolutions, by the US Security Council veto, Israel swaggers in the Middle East without restraint. Thanks to the United States, Israel possesses the nuclear bomb and threatens its use against Iran. The people of Israel are old, but the nation is very, very young, bold and inclined to recklessness.
The USA has, from the soul level, a profound and genuine desire for world unity and peace. However, it too is young, large and powerful, and under the control of its glamoured personality. Its ideal is for unity and peace, and it imagines that it demonstrates this to the world. When all follow the America's lead in economics, politics, and religion, it believes peace will inevitably ensue. With this attitude, it has sought to dominate the world repeatedly, making war in the name of peace. Wars like Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The world is waiting for the overcoming of this glamour. And the influence of the second race soul of the U.S., to emerge into world affairs.
When this does take place, and probably not before the Day of Declaration by Maitreya, the innate longing for unity of the American soul will be galvanized into action, and the idea of service to the whole will replace the present need to dominate. A great reconstruction of the world will be undertaken by countless individuals. The desire to serve will replace the present U.S. sense of superiority in all things, and a true era of peace will follow. Iran has an ancient and gifted people, at present torn between desire for a sane secular government and an extreme fanatical form of Islamic rule. Iran is deeply disliked and mistrusted by the USA since its scientists are in the process of mastering nuclear technology. It has never been the intention of Iran to develop a nuclear arsenal, but it feels threatened daily by the US and Israel and now reluctantly sees no alternative. Its people are mature, cultured and peaceful and have given much of its gifts, in particular to India.
North Korea is the youngest of all these nations, formed out of a division of the original Korea. Its intentions are also the most difficult to foresee, since it is so engrossed in proving to the world its prowess. Unfortunately, it has achieved some nuclear capability and can be seen as something of a loose cannon among the nations. As is well known, it is dominated rather than led by its rulers and must be carefully watched by the United Nations as a whole. Its people are hungry for recognition and for food. The nations of the world should be generous in sharing both with North Korea. From the point of view of the average onlooker there, it seems much to cause fear and worry in this appraisal. However, the masters see a world ready for change, longing for the justice which will guarantee a new and real unity among the nations and the peace which all desire.
It's interesting to see how that was written 6 years ago, and yet it's still quite relevant today. Our next piece is a book review by Gerard Artsen, the Dutch author and UFO researcher. And the book is by Paul Hellyer, who is the former Canadian Defence Minister. It's called Light at the End of a Tunnel, a Survival Plan for the Human Species. Hellyer rose instantly to fame within the circles of Disclosure and the Exopolitists activists when he declared in a speech at the Exopolitics Toronto Symposium in September 2005 that UFOs are as real as the aeroplanes flying overhead, and that the veil of secrecy must be lifted. In his recent book, Light at the End of the Tunnel, Mr. Hellyer does not mince his words about the need for governments to get real about the problems confronting humanity, urging a view of what he calls a broader versus a narrower reality. His heartfelt call for openness in all matters UFO came after he had learned that the authenticity of the Roswell crash, as described in a book by the retired Colonel Philip J. Corso, was confirmed by a retired USAF general who told him every word of it is true. Mr. Hellyer's address also earned him, in his own words, the dubious distinction of becoming the first person of cabinet rank from the G8 group of countries to say unequivocally that UFOs are real and we are not alone in the cosmos and had better get used to it.
That this distinction is absolutely deserved becomes clear from Light at the End of the Tunnel, in which the author connects the dots between what must be a unique array of subjects to many of his readers. And while most international readers will already be familiar with the interrelatedness of the challenges which Mr. Hellyer analyzes in his book, they too will find it a breath of fresh air among the myriad books that seem bent on exponentially increasing the number of hysterical conspiracies, earthspun or suspected extraterrestrial origin. Perhaps it is only to be expected that Light at the End of the Tunnel does not manage entirely to steer clear of conspiracy theories itself, given how much effort authorities worldwide have expended in keeping the fact of extraterrestrial visitors and their technology out of the public domain by consistently covering up encounters and executing covert operations intended to confuse and scare the public. Overall, however, the book is that rare voice of reason from one who combines a lifetime of public service and a keen insight into the needs of the time with an open-minded view of a broader reality which alone will guarantee the survival of humanity on this planet. The author's description of himself as a practicing Christian shows that he is one of the true tolerant kind who inclusive views are based on a solid understanding of the essential message of all the world's teachers. My philosophy can be summed up in three words, the golden rule. That is to treat others as we ourselves would want to be treated.
Before setting out on his extraordinary journey to connect dots in a way that eludes most present-day commentators, the author identifies three principal elements that he says are required to put the planet Earth on the road to recovery and its inhabitants on a path of undeniable hope. The first of these is the availability of reliable sources of energy to replace fossil fuels. The second is a world culture of cooperation in contrast with the traditional desire to dominate and rule supreme. And the third is a monetary and banking system that facilitates the transition from an economy dependent on oil and perpetual slavery of impoverished people of the world. Injustice, whether economic, social, ecological, political, religious, or scientific, is indeed seen by Hellyer as a major obstacle to salvaging the world. Thus, it is in one chapter he eloquently and movingly denounces the plight of the Palestinian people as he experiences the Israeli policy of oppression firsthand, and in another sums up all the compelling evidence of the authenticity of the Shroud of Turin, which is ignored by debunkers. In the same chapter, he identifies the Star of Bethlehem as one of God's spaceships. He discards the outcome of the Copenhagen Climate Summit as ineffective and demands disclosure of the available extraterrestrial technology, saying, "There is no doubt in my mind that the star visitors would give us the technology necessary to save our planet if we asked them to."
With the same ease with which he gives an overview of convincing stories of contactees, Mr. Hellyer outlines the nefarious forces on Earth that are struggling with all their might to hold humanity in thrall to the economic power which they wield through constant warfare and conflict. In the chapter Ending the World Financial Crisis, the author states his case for a complete restructuring of the global financial and economic system, pointing out with keen insight the flaws of the current reality, where a combination of greed and incompetence can doom billions of people to lives of misery and hopelessness. In the final chapter, Mr. Hellyer puts forward his political agenda, a list of comprehensive reforms and proposals which he ranks on a scale from absolutely essential, such as a full and complete disclosure, changes to the monetary and banking system, a just Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement and protecting the environment, to desirable, for example, universal health care. In his introduction, Mr. Hellyer says that he started writing this book as an autobiography of the second half of his career, but because of his profound concern about the future of the human species, he decided to eliminate the historical section to make space for more urgent concerns. The result is a literary tour de force in which he brings together all the urgent matters concerning life on planet Earth. As such, Light at the End of the Tunnel, a survival plan for the human species, proposes solutions that are based on principles which slowly but surely are dawning in the minds of practical, reasonable human beings who recognize the fact of the one humanity sharing justice and cooperation. And that's a review of Paul Hellyer's Light at the End of the Tunnel, a survival plan for the human species, which was published in the UK in 2010.
When Mr. Benjamin Krem was alive, hundreds of people sent their UFO experiences to him. He was able to confirm from his master whether the sighting was an extraterrestrial event. We have a letter here from a writer in Barcelona in Spain, and it just demonstrates what we're talking about. "Dear editor, on the evening of 19th of December 2010, at 7:20 p.m., I was outside in Sabadell, Barcelona, province, Spain, when I saw in the sky 10 orange-reddish lights in a geometrical formation crossing the sky from the east towards the southeast. They flew at a constant speed without making any noise and could not be planes as they did not have the usual blinking lights, but also because, at that moment, a plane flying lower passed underneath them. After that, till 7:50 p.m., there was a continuous flow of lights in different frequencies, but without stopping, along the same route. I did not count them, but certainly there were dozens. Several cars were stopping to look at them, even a police car at the same. What were those lights?" And Benjamin Krem's master confirms that the lights were spacecraft from Mars on a specific mission.
We have a second letter here as well. Dear editor, a friend of mine, a flight attendant at Air France, sent a photograph to me with the following story. On the 19th of November 2009, during a stopover in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, the crew decided to go visit the Corcovado, including the captain, a very Cartesian and rigorous man. After some time, around 1 p.m., they saw tourists kneeling down in prayer, watching the clear blue sky. They looked up and saw a big, still light. The captain said it could be a satellite, which appeared to be still due to an optical illusion, but was probably moving. After approximately 5 to 6 minutes, the light disappeared. Everybody returned to their occupations and forgot this unusual observation, but for a few minutes later, the bright light reappeared again in the same place with the same intensity. It moved slowly for another 5 minutes before disappearing suddenly, as if somebody had turned off the switch of a lamp. The captain could only say, "This is strange." Everybody stayed there for another 10 minutes in case the light showed again, but it did not. They did not speak about it during the rest of the day, as if made uncomfortable with the experience. They could only mention it openly the next day to find relief and try to understand. "What was the light? Did they see Maitreya's star in Rio?" asked Frederick Clobet from Paris, France. And Benjamin Krem's master confirms that the bright light in the daylight sky was a spaceship from Mars.
And just to round off the program, we've got a small piece here from Fraternité Générale, which translates as General Brotherhood, is a French non-governmental organization born from the trauma of the terrorist attacks which have pervaded France in the last 5 years. It's more than an organization, it's a movement or an energy which is the outcome of the feeling of solidarity that these attacks have generated among the French people, in whom the fundamental values of humanity have been reawakened. Fraternité Générale considers itself a movement dedicated to promoting fraternity in cultural, educational, sporting and civic initiatives through France. In particular, it aims to combat exclusion and marginalisation of communities and other entities, to make culture universally accessible through a programme of national-scale initiatives, and to foster civil society undertakings in line with its mandate. In mid-October 2017, as in November 2016, a special focus was created by Fraternité Générale, whereby more than 600 events, including seminars, debates and concerts, were held in France, in the French territories overseas and countries abroad. Large cities, NGOs and well-known public institutions and concert venues voluntarily took part in the events, as did other public venues, hospitals, retirement homes and cafes and restaurants. Fraternité Générale demonstrates that human values can prevail in the midst of crises in civilization we are experiencing. We can all create connections again and help repair the torn network of the world, it affirms. And through its actions of both individual and collective, Fraternité Générale takes shape. And that's largely our program today. Thank you very much for listening. And we hope you enjoyed what we offered there. If you would like any more information, you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.com or simply go to the website www.share-international.org. Love and blessings, everyone.